You're listening to Mucho Culture Radio, Community Voices.
My name is Andel Smith. I am the counselor for District 8, Halifax, Peninsula North. Was elected in 2016. In 2019, it will be 2 years. So it's been 2 years. And so grew up in the north end of Halifax, Goddison Street. My family's from the Prestons, East Preston and North Preston. So I spent a lot of my childhood in North Preston as a kid. So my grandparents and aunts and family members. So, you know, I spent a lot of time learning about my family history and heritage from the Prestons area, but also, you know, living in the city, there's different aspects of, I guess, the Black history from being in Halifax. So in a low-income neighborhood, lots of things, positive and negative growing up that molded who I am today, and most of it was around wanting to get back to kids in the neighborhood, because as a young kid there weren't as many role models as the generation before me, because you always heard about somebody who was empowering young people, but then at my generation those folks weren't really around. So I wanted to, when I got older, I wanted to be someone that could hopefully impact kids. So I started volunteering and working with community in the library and just around the neighborhood, and it kind of went from there. Lots of little projects that led to being the city councilor. So, you know, when I was working at the library a couple years ago before council, I was the community outreach worker focusing on teens. So before that, I was a programmer who did teen programming for kids and young adults. And one of the things that I tried to do, because, you know, the North End in the New York Square area is historically Black community, for not just Black Nova Scotians, but Black immigrants and Canadians from all over the world. I grew up with kids from Uganda and Nigeria, and some from Europe, but mostly the African continents. So there also was an aspect of making sure that connection of, you know, the continent of Africa, but also the African heritage of Nova Scotia. So, you know, always trying to do programs that would sneak in the history. So, you know, you don't really want to always them to feel like they're in school. So we do trivias around, you know, what Black history do you know, Nova Scotian and world. And also just trying to, you know, empower them to want to learn more. Like, we're in a library, the knowledge is there, you just have to look for it. So also doing things that would make them have to open books and read and, you know, spark their curiosity. And hopefully that would make them have conversation with their friends to say, you know what, I learned about this amazing person who created this invention from Africa, and now we use it every day. So, you know, it's a hard thing, because our schools are only in the last couple of years really focusing on making sure that when they talk about history, they include more than just European. So, you know, it's a hard thing when our system is not made to encourage more education around the other cultures of the world. So I went to school, and so I'm an audio engineer by trade, went to NSCC. Technical aspects of music are what I love. Recording, I worked for the National Film Board of Canada for a couple years doing film things. I was a music producer. I still do a little bit here and there, but with the studio that I helped co-found, Centerline Studio, you know, I would produce music with the kids and record them and teach them how to, you know, microphone presence and creating their own music, and how do you put projects together has always been a passion of mine. So I love music. Don't get to do as much of it now as I used to. Yeah, that's definitely a passion of mine. A tradition in a lot of families, especially in the Black culture, is like Sunday dinner. Like, that is just something. You sit down at the table, the mother or the grandmother cooks, and the aunts come over, and the uncles and your cousins, and you sit down and you have a meal, and you do it together. So, you know, for me, one of the things that just kind of take me back are like macaroni and cheese and scalloped potatoes. It's So unfortunately, when you look at, and there's a really great cookbook that was done by some women from East Preston, I believe, and I wish I could remember the name. It was the Nova Scotian Cooking. And there's really not a place you can go and actually get quotation Nova Scotia food. It's really, for me, when I think of Nova Scotian food, it's almost comparable to like the country food of like the southern states. Without like the collard greens, like we don't really do that, but that's kind of the feeling, where it's about like the home cooked meals. And you know, a lot of cultures, like non-European cultures, like food is what brings family together. Like that is what you do. You eat together, and that's something that is common. And you know, in the Nova Scotian culture, that's the same thing. You know, if you go over to your aunt or your grandmother's or your cousins, there's gonna be food. For whatever's in the fridge, we'll figure it out and everyone eats together. So
what the Black Culture Center means for you?
You know, anytime anyone I know comes here and they want to learn about the culture, it's you know, for us in Halifax, it's out of the way quotations, but I think it's important to take that time and go out there so you can see that history. So when you walk in, it's a beautiful building that right away you see the African, Canadian or Nova Scotian history, because it's, you have the pillars that have the information and the pictures, the vibrant pictures and the history and the artifacts. Yeah, Michel Jean, when she was the Governor General, her uniform and like that itself is powerful, because you are seeing this woman, this Black woman who was a leader in Canada, and that is in our Black Culture Center. And you know, you go upstairs and you just see the history around the athletes in like Egypt and just local, in, you know, it's hard to put it in the context that so much history is in this little place called Nova Scotia, and you have to see it to really understand it. But you know, I it's always something that I appreciate, and I, you know, whenever I can, take my daughter there so she can just learn more and more about the long history that's been here in Nova Scotia. Going into politics, it was different for me, because there's a couple aspects of it. One, knowing that when I look around our elected levels of government, there's not many people who represent me in terms of from the community, Black, who understand, you know, the issues that we face as Black people in Canada. So when I look at our council, the last person before me was Graham Downey, who, that was 20-something, almost 20 years ago, before I was elected. So, you know, that was concerning. And when the opportunity came, I at first didn't want to do it, because, you know, I realized that when I wasn't interested in politics, but at the same time, I know there'd be a uphill battle that I wasn't sure I wanted to take on, because, you know, as a young Black male from a community that is stigmatized as being a negative place, you know, people are not going to want me at that table. But, you know, that was my mind not understanding the importance of that role. And then once I talked to people and they said, no, you can't, that can't be the reason why you don't try this. You know, this is important. And, you know, getting support from community and family, and then running and knocking on doors, which was hard, because as a young Black male, you know, you don't see many people wanting to get leadership roles, knocking on doors and trying to get the confidence of folks who might have never even been in UNIAC Square or been to North Preston or been to Black communities to try to convince them that these places aren't what the media represents, and they're just like your communities. So, you know, having all those conversations, but then realizing that it's not just about me, it's about the community in a whole, in representing everybody, not just the Black population. So once, you know, you get over that hump and you realize that you're here to represent everyone, and then the people realize that, then it changes the whole scope of it. And it, you know, once I was able to articulate that I'm not just here to do things for the Black community, I'm here for everyone, but, you know, that's the community that I hold close to my heart, so I definitely will make sure that we work towards doing what we can, and it, I guess the rest is history. I want to get to a place in the future where we're not celebrating when someone like me gets on to council or gets a role like this. excuse me, when I, and so when I say not celebrating, I don't mean celebrating because we're excited, but it's just what happens. It's we shouldn't, you know, when somebody that's white gets elected, yes, we're happy in general because that person is elected, but you know, it's not the same thing like, oh my goodness, a woman or a black man or someone Aboriginal, they got a or Mi'kmaq, they got elected, so let's hold a party, let's celebrate, let's get in the media. Like, I want to get to a place where it's just, it's part of life, and we are not always celebrating the first. It's just natural, and it's not a battle for somebody who's different to be wanting to be part of that process. So for me, what I do is I go to schools and I talk to young people all the time. I try to make sure I reach out to different demographics of just backgrounds of people to understand, like, this is what the political realm looks like, and this is how you can get involved, and these are opportunities, and really trying to open that door. So going into the new year 2019, which will, you know, mark 2 years in a bit of being elected. So for just the city and, you know, my area in general, what I want to see is we're getting to a place where when new buildings, developments, and opportunities are coming into the community, people are starting to think more about affordable housing and the historic community. So to a place where, you know, everyone's involved in decisions and feel confident in being part of those processes and not being, you know, historically a lot of people were left out. So making sure that people are included and feeling like they're included in these decisions is definitely a goal of mine, but also it's not just about us including them, it's about people also coming out wanting to be included. So how do we also shift that, you know, we want you to be here, where when you're used to not being part of it, your mind blocks it off. So I want to also change the way the community looks at it, is yet we're asking for you to come and your opinion is actually going to be listened to. And, you know, and that also includes the black community, where, you know, me and some other community members, Rodney Small, Dee Nelson, Lumia Reddick, and Rachel Darrow were all part of something called the One North End, which the goal of that is to get residents within North End and businesses and other aspects of how community is growing, to intertwine it so historic members, new landed families, everyone is included in that growth, and especially the black community.
Have a good time with Mucho Cultural Radio.